Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Okay, everybody, welcome to People Speak Radio Show. This is your host, Charles Giuliani, again. We've got a very interesting and important guest tonight, Richard Belzer. He hardly needs an introduction. I'm sure many of you are already familiar with him, but for those that aren't, he's a comedian as well as an actor of Law and Order fame. He's also the author of a new book, very interesting and very important book. It's called Dead Wrong, Government Conspiracies to Kill the Likes of JFK, RFK, Marilyn Monroe, and others. We'll be going into that in detail here shortly.
It's a history book.
There you go. Right, exactly.
No, it's mostly about the cover-ups.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
Oh, I agree. I hate when people say conspiracy theory. You know, it's no theory.
No, I mean, the word, it's funny because there are millions of conspiracies every day. Conspiracy means when two people get together and decide to commit a crime. That's a conspiracy. So by that definition, you know, it happens millions of times every day.
Sure.
But, you know, the word has been marginalized for obvious reasons to there are those in positions of power who malign the pursuit of justice by intentionally associating the word conspiracy, you know, with the delirious hallucinations of unbalanced minds, you know.
Right.
Wrong.
Oh, yeah. They've done a good job at doing that. When in reality, conspiracies are actually the norm all throughout history. They're not the exception. But anyway, before we get into
that. Yeah, they're everywhere, as I said.
Sure. Before we get into that discussion, I just wanted to remind our listeners, anybody who wants to call in, we have open phone lines tonight. The toll-free number is for the United States and Canada, so anybody that wants to call in, you can do that by dialing 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471. You can call in any time during the broadcast. So, yeah, let's get into this this book here. A lot of ground to cover. I was sifting through it not too long ago, and I learned quite a few new things I didn't know before. I was certainly aware of our government's involvement in the assassination of many people over the years, but there was some extra details, like the Marilyn Monroe thing was particularly
interesting. Yeah, we proved once and for all that she definitely murdered. That was not a suicide. And the Kennedys had nothing to do with her murder. In fact, she was murdered to embarrass the Kennedys. They were hoping that would embarrass them, but they didn't count on people not calling the police for 6 hours and cleaning up the scene.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Some people have implied, quite a few people have implied that the Kennedys were involved in that. They were very close friends with her, both John and...
Well, Robert Kennedy was at her house that day, but he left in the afternoon and she was murdered that night.
Right.
I mean, the Kennedy, you know, they officially denied that he was there, but he was pulled over. He was in a car and the car was pulled over by LAPD. And he saw, you know, his boss, the Attorney General, in the car, so, on that day. But that was in the afternoon. It was either the mob or the FBI was trying to, you know, president's girlfriend commit suicide. It would be very embarrassing for the Kennedys, but, you know, they cleaned up the scene. And actually, the first officer on the scene said, this is a staged event, you know, the very first cop that came in there. It was so obvious, you know. There was no way she could have committed suicide. There was no water in her room. Her bathroom sink was broken. They said she took a bunch of pills, but they didn't find anything. Any of the refractor crystals. She could not have, that means she couldn't have swallowed the pills, period. And so, you know, she was clearly murdered. You know, her body was found laced down, found lying face down.
Yeah, if I remember right,
the sheets were cleaning.
I forget what they call it now, but when rigor mortis sets in, I guess the blood settles.
Lividity.
Yeah, that's it. And it indicated that right. She was lying on the opposite side from what they found her. And, of course, the sheets had been freshly changed. They were all
clearly. No needle marks were found. There were bruises on her. It was figured out that she was given a hypodermic type enema. It was an enema, so the skin wasn't punctured.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to trace. Actually, here's the quote from the police office, the watch commander. He said, "It was the most obviously staged death scene I've ever seen."
No kidding.
He actually said that. On the scene, an experienced division watch commander. Part of the reason I wrote the book was because I've written other books, and I wanted to write a book that had, footnotes and bibliography and was in a history section, and it was, just full of fact. You don't have to make anything up. This is what we found. David Wayne, my partner, is genius at analyzing, evidence-based research in terms of how the media covers these events, the microanalysis of media events.
Sure.
So he really, between the two of us, we really, made sure that nothing in the book could be refuted. And thus far, no critic or interviewer has really found anything to slam us about. So we're kind of proud of that.
How did you actually get involved? That should have been my first question into researching this. You went from, we were talking earlier, at one point you were teaching, and then you got into, you were a comedian,
well,
an actor.
Newspaper reporter in the 60s, and I even before I was a reporter, starting with early in the civil rights movement and then the Vietnam War and Dr. King's murder, Kennedy's assassination, Malcolm X, you couldn't help but wonder what was going on. And then when Watergate happened and some of the same names involved in Watergate were involved in the Bay of Pigs, that was a wake-up call for me. And then later on I ran Contrast, still some of the same names. So, there's a permanent national security state that runs the country. Presidents are part-time workers, and people have to understand that. When Truman signed the National Security Act in 1947, it just turned us into, this paranoid armed state against, creating this false thing about the Russians. The Russians, we spent like trillions of dollars against this empire in decline that never worked. Communism doesn't work by definition. And,
never has.
That whole thing was ginned up, the Russians made money on it too. There's some really good books written about how elements within our government and elements within the Russian government agreed on a certain kind of way to keep their locals ginned up, but never really actually go to war because it was, it would be the end of mankind, and they both sides knew it.
One of the best ways to prove the fraudulence of the whole Cold War is just to look at Fidel Castro. Supposedly, the CIA attempted 60 tries on his life, and somehow they just couldn't take him out. Yet every other political leader they've ever wanted to take out, they got him, taken down within 5 or 10 minutes, for crying out loud. How is it this guy survived all those years, long after the Cold War had ended, he was still in power. Somehow the CIA just couldn't.
He's alive right now.
Sure.
That's a really good point. I've often wondered, just his survival is astounding when you consider...
They wanted him dead so bad.
We have drones that can blow people out of a car,
right,
from 20,000, 30,000 feet.
Right.
If they really, plus, Guantanamo Bay is right in Cuba. It's a Marine base. So, it's a joke that they're any kind of threat to us in any way. And even the Cuban Missile Crisis, which Kennedy handled incredibly well, forever ended any notion that Cuba could be involved in any way in hurting us. So yeah, it's strange that he has lasted so long. It's really
it's quite obvious. It's quite obvious he knew it was a fraud. He wanted to put an end to it, and that's why they put an end to him.
Put an end to who?
JFK. He wanted to put an end to the whole Cold War.
Well, yeah. Kennedy, because he was wealthy and not owned by anyone,
right?
And really wanted to go. I mean, he did a lot of dark things. But what he wanted to do was end the Federal Reserve, tax the oil billionaires just slightly more. He had a nuclear test ban treaty with Russia already. He didn't say anything when Italy became a socialist country. He was doing everything that was enraging the Pentagon, the mob, the Cuban exiles. He had Dr. King in the White House, so the White Citizens Council and groups like that hated him. When people ask me who killed Kennedy, I say, who didn't kill him? It wasn't government as an institution that murdered Kennedy. It was elements within the government that did it. And then the government as an institution had to cover it up. So it looks like a bigger conspiracy than actually. The cover-up was bigger than the crime in some ways. Because people in the government said, holy shit, we killed the president. We can't let this, don't forget, it's the height of the Cold War. We don't want the rest of the world to think we're a banana republic. So a lot of people were complicit in the cover-up to protect the country, and a lot of people did it for patriotic reasons. But a lot of people, you know, there's no reason now, in 2013, you know, the truth is out. It's just that, unfortunately, it's in thousands of papers and hundreds of books, and you have to be crazy like me or you know, a few dozen other people that are serious about putting it all together. But it's clear Lee Harvey Oswald didn't fire a shot, and more than one person was involved in the murder of our president.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's abundantly obvious. I tell you what, I guess we've already got some, we get at least one caller on the line, and I'm getting some questions in via text. Do you want to go to some questions?
Yeah, sure. I love questions from anybody.
Okay, great. I guess we'll go to the phone call first. We've got, he's going by the name Monolo or Monolo.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Are you there, Mono?
Yeah, yeah, I am. Hey, Mr. Spector, this is Manolo here in Miami. I have a question for you.
Do you Twitter me sometimes?
I'll tell Mr. Bauer to send you a text, absolutely. I have a question. I'd like to know if you conspired to do cocaine while being the MC at the Babylon Club. And with this book, do you think folks might call you a Meshuggah? I'll take my answer off the air.
That's okay. Well, Meshuggah is Yiddish for crazy, in which I probably assume that mantle. And I did do the movie Scarface, but I can attest to the fact there was no cocaine on the set. They used mannitol to look like cocaine, but which is a baby laxative. But it wasn't as wild as it looked.
My apologies. I actually recognize that voice from a chat forum I frequent. He's one of the...
Oh, that's okay. He's a harmless prankster, I would imagine.
Heckling monkey. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, he's fine. He's all right.
You always get one in the crowd. Yeah, we've got some other questions coming in via text. This one is from...
Okay, sure.
Yeah, Sylvie in Canada. She says, is there anything in the book on gun control issues? She also wants to know what's your opinion of the current move toward gun control inspired by the Sandy Hook shooting.
Yeah. No, well, the book came out in August, so there's nothing about gun control in it. Although...
That's been an ongoing issue, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, no, my feeling is that the people have a right to own a weapon, but I think it should be like a car. It's not in the Constitution, but when you buy a car, you have to take lessons and learn how to drive it, and you have to register it and get it insured. And I believe that if you want to buy a firearm, you should be trained in how to use it, and it should be registered, and you should have a background check. But I do believe that civilians do not need military-style weapons, but they certainly have the right to, you know, handguns and what we would call hunting. And I'm also a big fan of clip capacity reduction. We certainly don't need 60 round clips. If a guy can't hit a deer in 10 shots, he shouldn't be a hunter.
Okay, let's go. Let's see. We've got another one here. Smith in Maryland. He says, does Mr. Belzer think that Barack Obama is a closet Republican? I'm not sure exactly.
I know exactly what some people are disappointed that Obama has not been liberal enough, and others have said, you know, he's been too liberal. So,
you can't make that claim about his warmongering. I mean, he's certainly continuing Bush's wars.
There's nothing more despicable than those drones.
That's true. Sure.
The idea of having John Kerry and Chuck Hagel come in is, I think, one of the most promising things maybe in the last 50 years, because those guys are the first two people to be in those positions that have actually been in combat. And they will not be so easy like these armchair think tank right-wing white terrorists that want to send everybody to war who have never been to war. I think the idea of having people in there who have been in battle and been shot and are intelligent make these decisions. And this idea of, you have to listen to the generals, you have to listen to the generals. Well, John Kennedy listened to the generals and almost caused World War III. He learned a big lesson. I think Obama's getting educated in office. I think he's done some amazing things. I think he's done some incredibly dark things, and that's, you know, the dichotomy of trying to lead in the world today. It's virtually impossible to be president. You know, he's not the Supreme Court and the Congress, and yet we treat him as though he were a monarch who could do all these things like take our guns away, or, you know, it's physically impossible to take our guns away, and he never would attempt it, and it'll never happen. The whole idea is just to have background checks, which I think even the NRA is for. How many more children can we take? You know, it's how many, you could fly the flags at half mast and everybody could, you know, shake their heads and be depressed, but this really has to stop. I mean, you know, we'll never get over that.
My take on it, though, is...
My problem
with what they're proposing, though, is every time there's an instance like
this... We don't know what they're proposing. They haven't said anything yet.
Well, but the tendency has always been after things like this...
It's not always been. This is a new thing now. 20 children were shot, and we're trying to figure out how... to get the 40% of people who have weapons just to get background.
Well, what I mean is every time there's been
sure they're not crazy.
Every time there's been a shooting over the past 4 decades, there's been multiple pieces of legislation that have been introduced. My point is, though, is they control the parameter of the debate and get us to believe that the only solution to this problem is simply to pass laws that are going to restrict people's access to guns. Quite honestly.
No. Restrict crazy people's access, not people's access. You know, we really have to be careful with language and...
Well, no okay, but how about this?
No one's taking anybody's fucking guns away. We
how
just
about
don't want any more children murdered by mentally deranged people.
Okay, we have laws...
We got laws that
prevent crazy people from getting drugs, but does that stop them? No, it doesn't stop them. In fact, since the war on drugs began, we've got more drugs coming into this country.
If we save one child, then I'm for strict laws, okay? One child, yours or mine or your nephew's or your son.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take up a whole show.
A relative of yours was shot in the face, so you'd have a different attitude about this subject.
Well, I would want teachers.
You're treating our children now, man. You know, it's like.
Well, but
we
listen.
Hold on.
Where were the cops to come in and protect them? The cops arrived. Everybody was already dead, including the shooter, right? According to the official story, everybody was already dead. No cop was there to protect them. So how could restricting people's access to criminals are always going to get guns, Richard? I'm sure you know that.
No,
it doesn't matter how many laws they pass.
Let me explain something to you. 268,000 people have been denied handguns since the Brady Bill came in because they were felons or they had mental diseases. So it does work. We prevented things that we don't even know about. If teachers had access to a gun, make it like a car. Where you have to register it and get a background check.
Okay, so have teachers register their guns, get a background check on the teachers, right? And then when something like this happens, there's a nut flying around.
What are you talking about? Shouldn't everyone who buys a gun know how to use it and not be crazy?
Well, did you know that the shootout that occurred?
Can you answer that question? Should anybody who has a gun know how to use it and not be insane?
Oh, I agree.
That's my question.
I agree to that.
Who would disagree? No one would disagree with that, right?
So we should train teachers then.
75% of the NRA, 75% of the NRA wants these background checks.
Do you remember the shootout?
Wayne Lapierre is a lobbyist for
the Bowser, hold on. Do you remember the shootout in Oregon at the mall a couple months back? Do you remember that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, this is something that interestingly didn't make it in the national media. They didn't report this. But it turns out that guy shot himself because he looked over and saw that there was somebody in the mall aiming a gun at him about to shoot him. He was going to shoot more people, except this guy with a gun in the mall.
Kill? How many people did he kill?
Two. He would have killed more.
So if we knew he was crazy, he may not have gotten the gun in the first place and he wouldn't have shot two people.
Well,
right?
My point is, just like drug addicts that who want drugs, they're always going to find
them. Don't do this. We're talking about children's lives and your drugs.
Well, let me just say this. You write a book about
writing analogies about drugs. Anybody can't get a gun. That's not true.
Hold on, Richard. Please, just a minute. You write a book about corrupt government killing people. That's the whole premise of your book, right? Correct?
Yes, of course it is.
To have our government come along and restrict our access to weapons.
No, you know, you're not listening to me. I want people to have guns. I don't give a shit. I just don't want it to be crazy. I want them to register the gun, and I want them to know how to use it. Is that crazy?
Okay, I agree. But do you think that's wrong for teachers to have guns?
We agree.
Okay, right. It sounded like you were arguing that teachers shouldn't be armed, and I think all teachers in every school should be armed.
That's insane.
No, it isn't. Why is it insane? Every shootout that's occurred in the school, the police
can overpower the teacher and take the gun from her if they walk in there with an AK-47 and spray the fucking room.
Do you know how long it was at Virginia Tech? Five guys walked in, were you insane?
And they know there's guns in the classroom, and the kid knows there's, every child in the room knows a gun, the teacher has a gun.
Richard, I don't think you're hearing me. I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying. Do you remember Virginia Tech? Do you know how long it took the police to arrive there? Four hours.
Put a metal detector at the door and have, an off-duty cop there. That's all.
Columbine. You know how many hours went by in Columbine? Over 3 hours before the police finally arrived. Well, you know what they said? We were outgunned.
What does that have to do with background checks? I don't understand.
Well, you said it's insane for teachers to be armed.
Of course it is. You'll terrify the whole class. You'll be terrified. You want to scare children? Well, the teacher has to have a gun. Why? The gun will be hidden, locked away.
They won't even know it's there. They'll certainly be glad when the teacher blows up.
You don't think a kid will hear that his teacher has a gun on the news or on the internet? Come on, man.
Tell you what. You would have a case. Richard, that's not children. Yeah. Wow. I want to get off this in a minute, but let me just say this. You would have a case if the cops have always showed up whenever there's been shootings like this and saved lives. They've never done it. Never. Never. So who's going to save the kids? Nobody.
Well, who will save the kids is preventing people from getting guns who are insane.
These laws don't work. Sorry. They don't work. We've had...
So give everybody a gun.
For a decade.
And the people who missed the shooter and kill another... What happens if somebody misses the shooter?
Let's change the subject because this is going nowhere. All right.
We actually basically agree. It's just semantics.
Yeah.
you don't want crazy people having guns.
Yeah, but to be honest, what I see happening here is they're whittling our gun rights, our Second Amendment, away, bit by bit.
No, that's a myth. That's a myth. It's impossible. There's more guns than people. Do you know how many people have guns locked away? What do you think? The army's going to come and every fucking house in America and take their guns?
You know,
what are you, crazy?
Okay,
it's physically impossible.
There could be a lot more of these shootings.
It would start a revolution if we tried to take the guns.
With all those guns.
Take guns.
But Richard, think about it. These shootings, as traumatic as they are, they're relatively rare when you consider how many millions of guns
exactly.
are out.
So the point is mental health and background checks. That's all. Not take away sane people's guns. People have the right to have a gun.
I wish we could have mental health exams and background checks for our politicians, but that's another story. Anyway, let's get back.
I'm with you on that.
Actually, you know what? Oh, no, I guess we got about 5 more minutes. We're going to cut to a break. Why don't I go to some more of these questions here?
Sure.
We've got Roland in Texas. He's wondering, has Mr. Belder seen – oh, yeah, this is a question I wanted to ask you, too. I'm sure you've seen Oliver Stone's The Untold History of the United States has been airing or was airing.
I've seen a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, he's done a pretty good job. What do you think of his series, he asked?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot in there that is irrefutable. I mean, it's just Oliver was very smart. He did a very sober job and just was reciting history. He wasn't really, you know, drawing any crazy conclusions. He wasn't conspiratorializing everything. He was using archival footage and historical facts, and I think he did a brilliant job. I think it was not a revisionist theory in the United States, but an alternative theory that, you know, I mean, we've learned a lot from public education, but obviously there are things that we weren't taught and weren't told. And I think America, as Jefferson and Madison and they all said, that, you know, an informed citizenry is, you know, it's important. We have to be informed. We can't be hidden, and knowledge can't be hidden from us, the voter, the citizen.
Right.
So he's done a good service. Whether you agree with him or not, he's brought up some valid points about our history. And
Sure. Actually
his message at the end is very ennobling and hopeful. I mean, he doesn't hate this country.
Boom and doom, yeah. Right. You know, I'm all for that. Even if I don't agree with what the person is saying, I'm all for people getting you to think, giving your alternative ideas, looking at things from another angle. Because,
exactly.
I mean, everything is, everything's handed to us on a silver platter, and people are just accustomed to accepting what they're told, and that's half the reason we're in the mess we're in.
Well, you know, that's true. A lot of people, unfortunately, don't have the time. You know, they're working hard, they have families, and they, you know, they may see a headline here or here's a fact there and not, you know, have the luxury of getting deeper into what they're being told. And that's an easy way to control a population, you know?
Sure.
And people like Murdoch and others, the handful of people that control the media, obviously know that.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, I think we've got time for one more question before we go to our break here. Mike in California asks, does Richard think that Osama bin Laden was captured and killed by the U.S. military? That's a good question. That's something that I would probably...
You know, I... First of all, let me say, I think it's a joke that we think that this, you know, 6'4" guy on dialysis, you know, from a cave, pulled off this incredible military operation and attacked our country.
Right.
It turns out that bin Laden really was not the leader of so-called Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that different groups of terrorists would get money from him. He
right.
didn't tell them what to do, but he financed them. But that's a minor point. I don't know. I think he, like Hussein and like Noriega and others are, you know, these guys we create, and at one time we're our allies, and then we turn on them when they don't
yeah.
do what they're supposed
friend
to
friend one day,
on.
Enemy the next, like a dominoes game.
Yeah,
up,
I mean,
down. Yeah.
Bin Laden was fighting the Russians with us,
sure.
you know, helping the Mujahideen and all that stuff. So, I mean, and Noriega was our buddy. He was trained
oh, yeah.
by our CIA.
Well,
Hussein, you know, was Rumsfeld's buddy.
Yeah, Saddam.
So, you know,
Mosaddegh?
You know, Saddam, right, yeah. And then, yeah, Saddam. But you know what's interesting is that people don't want to hear bad things about the government. And I understand it in a way. It's not so much ignorance as blind faith. You know, I know a lot of people who just feel that, you know, oh, the government wouldn't do this or the government won't. Well, yeah. I mean, now we know through the Freedom of Information Act and diligent research, and it's 2013 now, and we have all these great computer search engines, and, you know, so we're finding out things that we never dreamed we did, even in our most recent past. So, I mean, we live in this age of too much information for some, and I think that's why people cling to certain narrow political perspectives as they would a religion. And I'm not judging these people. I'm just saying that there's such an amount of complex and overwhelming things that are going on right now in our country and the world that people kind of, I think, shut down and don't and aren't open to certain kinds of information. That's why I'm only going to write from now on history books instead of I've written a couple of novels and nonfiction, but I'm into what really is. You don't have to make anything up, you know?
Yeah, that's my passion, too. I like to write and research and share my findings with people.
You know, that passion of what's real, you know?
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, Richard,
go ahead.
Yeah, we've reached our halfway point. Hold that thought, and we can get to that as soon as we get back. Stick with us, folks. Short break.
Okay, got it.
This land is your land. This land is mine.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests from various realms of interest share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And like millions of other responsible Americans, I smoke pot. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. And it's none of the government's business. Let's get the government out of our private lives once and for all and stop arresting smokers. Let's take a stand for personal freedom. To learn how you can help, go to normal.org.
Come, you masters of war.
Hello, this is Cindy Sheehan. America's war on terror has become a war of terror, with endless drone bombings, continuing military occupation, as well as detention, rendition, and torture still being practiced under the current administration. I lost my precious son Casey to war, and now work towards a day when not one more mother, son, or daughter will suffer such a loss. Listen to my podcast, read my blog, and come join me at any activities I attend near you. Please visit CindySheehanSoapbox.com for more information, and let's work for peace together.
Stellar Flutes is a family-owned and operated business dedicated to producing beautiful, finely handcrafted Native American-style flutes in a variety of sustainable woods. Stellar Flutes are used by both beginner and professional musicians with glowing praise. Easy to play and invoking a calm, meditative feeling, they make a perfect gift for you or someone special. For more information, including videos on selecting and playing the flute, please visit stellarflutes.com or call toll-free 1-888-427-8850.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Once again, our guest is Richard Belzer, comedian, actor, of Law and Order fame. He's also the author of the book, Dead Wrong, talking about assassinations with unquestionable
straight facts on the country's most controversial cover-ups.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what.
I was reading my own cover.
Yeah, right. There you go. Your subtitle. Yeah, in this second half, we're going to continue to take more questions, but I also sure. wanted to maybe ask you to, in fact, let's do that first. Probably, what would you say would be the best or the most clear example of an undeniable assassination, you know, that you cover in your book? Would you say JFK?
Well, no, I would say Robert Kennedy had powder burns on his hair, which means he was shot from 2 to 3 inches from his head. Sirhan Sirhan never got closer than 8 or 10 feet. There were 14 bullets taken out of that pantry. Sirhan's gun only fired 8 shots.
Yeah.
Senator Kennedy, was shot by a security guard who was standing right behind him and virtually placed the gun to his temple and shot him. And I've been told, and I don't know, I have no corroboration, but I've recently been told by a very respected researcher that Kennedy was then shot again to make sure when he was in the ambulance. But I'm just saying that because my source was good. I usually don't say things that wild.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Some amazing sources, but over the years that I've gotten in the government and out of the government. But anyway, at the very least, we know Sirhan did not kill Bobby Kennedy. We do know for a fact he was hypnotized. I know people joke about that.
MK Ultra.
Yep. Definitely hypnotic subject. He was seen with this woman with a polka dot skirt.
Yep.
After Kennedy was shot, was seen running from down the stairs saying, we got him. You know, it's like, what? You know, I mean, but, yeah, no, that was more obvious than, more easily provable than John Kennedy, although we know now for a fact, and we've known for many years, Lee Harvey Oswald was on the first floor having lunch at 12:23, and then he went to the second floor and got a Coke. He was never on the sixth floor. He never fired a shot.
Never found his
exactly
fingerprints on the gun or even in the
fire
surface
a shot,
nest.
Which is amazing.
Right. No gunpowder. And the gun that they said he used had a busted sight.
Well, that's it's a joke rifle, the Manley Cook Arcana. I've seen them.
Yeah,
I haven't fired it, but I worked the bolt, and they're not an accurate weapon, particularly for what he was supposed to have done.
Sure.
But there was probably at least four shooters in the plaza that day.
Yeah, the old triangulation
and
thing.
And then,
of course, conveniently, he's shot later by Mr. Rubenstein, Jack Ruby there.
Jake Rubenstein, who I'm going to give you a little tidbit that wasn't in my book. In 1947, or 48, I believe, when Richard Nixon was a congressman, he was on a subcommittee, a crime commission subcommittee, and one of the witnesses to be called before the committee to testify was a Jake Rubenstein. Nixon wrote a letter to the committee saying there was no need to call this person to testify. He is an asset to this committee. In other words, Jack Ruby was an informant to a crime commission in the 40s. So he was, you know, this low-level mafia, gun-running nightclub owner who, you know, I'm not saying Nixon had any. Nixon was in Dallas. Nixon and George Bush are the only two people that don't remember where they were on November 22nd, 1963.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
It's really funny. I think Nixon may have known about it, but I don't think he had anything to do with it.
Yeah. There's been some pretty credible speculation that the documents in the Watergate.
The Torbashaki?
I almost said Whitewater. The Watergate. Yeah, that there was some incriminating stuff dealing with. Not that Nixon was privy to that, but, you know.
I'm sorry, which thing again?
The Watergate break-in, that some of the documents in there may actually have pertained to
Kennedy. Oh, well, yeah. Some people think that one of the reasons was, Nixon threatened the CIA, and then he lost, and then he, you know, mysteriously loses the presidency. You don't threaten the CIA. He told Ehrlichman to tell the FBI, to tell the CIA, if they don't back off, the whole Bay of Pigs thing is going to come out.
which was code for the Kennedy murder.
Right.
So a lot of people think Nixon, all this deep throat stuff, you know, that he, that's when he lost it, when he threatened the CIA. You don't threaten the CIA.
I mean, right, exactly.
No, but you can't do that.
One of the world's premier hit squads. But
well,
anyway,
you know, the FBI, you know, people don't understand, there's 21, there's military intelligence, there's naval intelligence, there's Army intelligence, Air Force intelligence, you know what I mean, and Army intelligence, and then there's there's all kinds of stuff. So they could, you know, people say you can't keep secrets. Yeah, you can keep secrets. There's divisions within divisions. There's a division in the FBI that's a hit team that other divisions claim they have no knowledge of, you know.
Sometimes the FBI and the CIA have been at each other's throats, too.
Well, that's another thing. You know, 9/11, whatever you think, probably, I believe that there was foreknowledge in this country. I don't think we did it, but I think some elements in this country knew it was going to happen. Or wanted it to happen and just let it happen.
Yeah.
Which is, you know,
no question about that.
A despicable crime. You know, stuff like that is, you know, made for certain people, you know, it gives them more control. That's why I look for all these, you know, these false flag incidents that get us into wars, you know, like the Gulf of Tonkin or, you know, the making up things. You know, clearly Roosevelt had foreknowledge of Pearl Harbor, but he couldn't save Europe unless we were somehow brought into the war, because Americans are basically isolationists. We didn't want to go into World War One. We didn't want to go into World War Two. But we were attacked. We had to be attacked, you know. And unfortunately, I think, you know, there's enough documentation from noted historians that there was people knew in this government, very high up, that Pearl Harbor was going to happen before it happened.
Oh, yeah. No question about that. You know, you mentioned Bin Laden earlier.
And it's all to save the white people in Europe. But anyway.
We brought up Bin Laden earlier, and I wanted to mention this. Did you know that the FBI, right up until the time of his alleged, you know, murder, and they dumped him overboard? How ridiculous is that scenario? But anyway, they actually never listed 9/11 on their own website as being one of the crimes he was wanted for.
The Cole attack? Remember the attack on the SS Cole?
Right, but they never listed 9/11.
That's what we should have stopped him. That's where I blame Clinton.
Yeah.
If Clinton had done something at that moment, a lot of other things wouldn't have happened. I'm pure quarterbacking here, but what Bin Laden learned with the SS Cole was that he could get away with it. And, you know, once he saw that, he started bankrolling these ass, you know, white groups, these groups. You know, Al-Qaeda was a term that the United States made up in order to indict Bin Laden on the RICO Act, because they couldn't indict him as an individual. Bin Laden himself did not use the term Al-Qaeda until after 9/11.
Sure, right.
And, you know, there's not a big international terrorist conspiracy all over the world with sleeper cells in America, because if there was, they already would have done another 9/11. They already would have, you know, gone into a Disney store and sprayed it. I mean, they're not.
In fact, I mean, after 9/11, John Ashcroft, right after 9/11, was basically threatening Congress, you better pass the Patriot Act so we can go after these.
That was despicable. That whole period.
Sure.
That's all the stuff that Franklin was.
But he actually, it's almost comedic, though.
Security at the expense of liberty is not where we're at.
Sure. It's almost comedic, though, to sit back and watch this, because after threatening them and telling them there's sleeper cells everywhere in this country of Al-Qaeda, and they're going to have another attack if we don't have the powers given to us in the Patriot Act to stop them. Less than a year later, the FBI actually come out and said they found no evidence of Al-Qaeda sleeper cells anywhere in the U.S.
I know. They had a few fakes. They arrested a few guys and trumpeted it up, and it turned out these guys were just, you know, like one guy just was talking about it. Another guy actually did go train but was disillusioned and left. And, you know, there was no real threat here. You know, it was like communism. It was like Saddam. the right wing, not all of the right, because there are obviously brilliant right thinkers on the right, but the extreme right has just, you know, needs an enemy for some reason, you know?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, let's...
whether it's, you know, good. We'll open some calls.
Yeah, well, with some more questions coming in via text here. I'm hoping I can squeeze them
great.
In.
Great, whatever.
Yeah, we got Mary in Oklahoma, and she asks, I agree with Mr. Belzer, stricter gun control and bans on guns. Yeah, I think we talked about that during the break. I do agree with that.
Yeah, I'm not saying bans on guns. I'm saying keep guns out of the hands of crazy people.
Right, and I certainly agree with that. So it was more semantics, I guess, than anything else. We got Todd in California. Todd in California asks, what qualifications does Mr. Belzer have to offer expert opinion on gun control?
Well,
says you should have qualifications to have an opinion?
being a 68-year-old man who was a school teacher, a newspaper reporter, television actor, journalist, historian now, I feel that as a citizen of the United States, I have a right to my opinion. I don't claim to be an expert. I'm just speaking from my heart and my brain. And like all Americans, I'm expressing myself. And I more than respect opposite points of view, because that's what the whole idea of this country is. It's a marketplace of ideas. And I welcome people who disagree and who want to teach me something or just disagree with me. You know, it doesn't mean it's not personal. It's
And luckily, so far, we're still able to share those opinions publicly. That might change at some point, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I think I don't think you have to be an expert to have an opinion.
Sure.
But I don't take these things lightly, and I give them a lot of thought. So I'm not just throwing out, you know, political talking points here, because I belong to no particular political party, if that means anything.
Yeah, oh yeah, I agree. I don't trust either party. I think we have one party. It's called the Money Party.
Yeah, exactly, the Democrats.
Sure.
Republicrats or whatever.
Right, yeah. That's a term that Jesse Venturi uses a lot. He's right. You know,
yeah, I love Jesse. He's a really bright,
great guy. You ever see his series there on True TV?
Of course. Yeah, I think it's great. I'm glad more people stuff. Can't see it.
He did one on MK Ultra recently that was pretty shocking. He interviewed a former CIA
dark stuff,
scientist.
So dark.
Yeah, very frightening.
Actually, he and I may do a book together.
Oh, no kidding. I look forward to that. That should be great. Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
the same publisher.
Oh, no kidding. Great. Yeah, I've interviewed him before. Really nice guy. Actually, several times I've interviewed him. Yeah. Anyway, we got another one here from Buzzy in Florida, and he asks, has Mr. Belzer met either Richard Gage or David Ray Griffin of the 9/11 Truth Movement? Are you familiar with either of them?
I'm familiar with them, and I've seen them on the Internet, but I have not met them. And
or familiar with their work, anyway?
Well, I'm familiar with their work and a lot of work on this subject, and as time goes on, it's just clearer and clearer. It was clearer from day two, actually, that the first responders heard explosions in the building before the planes hit, and that there was molten lava-like stuff still boiling weeks after.
Puddles of steel, molten steel.
That's not jet fuel, you know.
Right.
So
right.
Something was going on. I mean, I wouldn't dare presume to know what happened, but clearly it isn't what we were told.
Yeah, well, that's always the case,
clearly,
isn't it? They're never forthright with anything, and that's the problem. You put just about anything.
Well, when they are forthright, we don't know whether to believe them or not. That's the tragedy.
The boy who cried wolf syndrome. Yeah, sure.
Even if they tell the truth, we go, well, why is he telling the truth? You know what I mean? It's like
right. Yeah.
It's so sad in a way. You know, when John Kennedy was going to run against Goldwater in 64, if he had lived, he and Goldwater were friends. They disagreed politically on virtually everything, but they were friends. And Kennedy said to Goldwater, look, here's what we should do. We'll get a plane, and you and I will, together on the same plane, we'll go to every major city in America, and we'll have debates. Can you imagine that happening now? You know, Gore and Bush on the same plane, or Obama and Romney on the same plane, or any civility like that. There's no more civility in the Senate and the Congress, and that spills over into the culture. And, you know, it's very disturbing, the lack of respect and civility towards people that you may disagree with intellectually. It gets personal, and it gets like, you know, that stuff wasn't going on, and it didn't always go on. It just...
Campaigns resorting to personal attacks. I mean, it's downright sleazy.
Yeah, I mean, in the old days, Lyndon Johnson, the murderer that he was, would, you know, call up someone from the Senate and say, come on over to the White House and have brandy with me, or, you know, or whatever. And
right.
Now, what can we do about this legislation? And, you know, or they'd eat over each other's houses. And, you know, it's like, and now it's like, if you even go near the other person, like Chris Christie was doing his job as the governor. I'm not a big fan, but he reacted fantastically during the storm. And, you know, he was standing with the president of the United States, who... People can't separate the person from the president. You know, a lot of people can't wrap their heads around the fact that there's a black president for whatever reason. A lot of it's racism, but he is the president, and Christie is the governor, and there's this moment where there's a storm, and which has nothing to do with politics, and Christie is vilified for just saying the president did a good job. I mean, that's where we've gotten, and it's not good. It's not good at all. You know, Lincoln had a team of rivals. He had people in his cabinet that were disagreed with him. And Jack Kennedy used to sit and watch his aides debate, and then he would pick one side or the other or a third side. You know, now it's just you're for us or you're against us. I mean, that's insane.
Right.
There's too much gray in the middle of black and white to say you're for us or against us, you know?
That was a famous Bush saying, yeah, you're with us or you're with the terrorists, so come on.
That's not true. You know, that's not necessarily true.
But anyway, let's see.
Any more
yeah, there's two more. Let's see if we can quickly squeeze them in. We've got maybe three more minutes. Sylvie in New York asks, oh, here we go. This is one of my favorite topics. Does Mr. Belzer think that the moon landings were a hoax, the Apollo moon landings?
I'll tell you what I really believe, and I don't think I've ever said this before on the air, so you're getting a scoop. I believe we did land on the moon, but I think we were warned off, and that's why we've never been back. Because there's a lot of evidence that We've seen that got through. There's a period where
that it's inhabited. You think?
There's a lot of go on the internet. There's footage from NASA that got through that wasn't censored. There were all kinds of stuff going on the moon that was observing our guys on the moon. Even our astronauts have mentioned it, I just think that something. I don't know what's going on there, but we were supposed to go there and, you know, for mining and you could do medical experiments because it's zero gravity. I mean, the moon would have been a wonderful place. And Kennedy had this great idea, you know, we're going to go to the moon because we can. And we did. And, you know, and then we never went back. So there's enough evidence to suggest that we're too afraid to go back.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, as always, you know, you put that under the microscope, and there's some problems and inconsistency.
Yeah.
We don't have time to get into that, but anyway. But saying, you know, that they're not forthright. Like that, there's something that's being hidden anyway. Let's see.
It's interesting. Why haven't we been back? You know,
that's true.
We were there in 69.
All these years.
Be like hotels on the moon, you know what I mean?
they didn't find any oil up there, I guess.
we don't know what they found up there.
Yeah, right. Anyway, we got Merrigan in Canada. The last question here, she says, what does Mr. Belzer think of the...
I love Canada. Yeah,
go ahead. Oh, yeah, beautiful place. What do you think of the supposed suicide of Dr. David Kelly?
That was murder. It's in my
Absolutely.
Book. He was clearly murdered. He had said to his wife and several friends, he knew that Tony Blair was lying about Iraq and lying about Hussein's capabilities.
Sure.
Blair
Downing Street memo.
Yeah, the Downing Street memo. I thought that, whoa, this is the greatest thing. And then that didn't do it. But, you know, Blair said that Hussein has this weapon that could be in London in 45 minutes and scared everyone in London. And but Kelly knew it was a lie. And Kelly said that if we go to war in Iraq, you'll find me dead in the woods in like 2 weeks.
He did say
guess
that.
What?
Huh?
Yeah. He went to war in Iraq and they found him dead in the woods.
Yeah.
And it was clear he was murdered. And his body was dragged, and, you know, I mean, there's
sure.
so much evidence that he was murdered.
Absolutely.
Poor man.
Disgusting.
He was brilliant.
Of course.
Man.
Oh, sure. Even more stunning than the Downing Street memo was, of course, the Project for the New American Century. I'm sure you recall that.
Yeah, which, you know, they knew they were coming to Iraq, you know, 20 years ago.
Sure, sure. What a fiasco. Anyway, before we close, in addition to your book, of course, is there anything else? Do you have any website or anything that you wanted to plug, or?
Well, my website is iBells, and my Twitter account is Mr. Belzer, and the book is belzersbook.com, belzerbook.com, and I have another book coming out in April called Hit List, which is about all the mysterious deaths in and around the JFK assassination, and I'm
Excellent.
Working on another book for the 50th anniversary, which will be in November. Believe it or not, the 50th anniversary of the assassination. It's an interesting 50th anniversary of the Rolling Stones, 50th anniversary of James Bond, and 50th
wow.
anniversary of JFK.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to your book there with Jesse Ventura. That should be great.
Yeah, we're looking at doing something together, and we'll certainly send you copies of a hit list before it comes out, so you get a chance to look at it, and then we'll
sure.
do the show again.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Keep up the good work, and like you
Great
said, you're going to write more books. Yeah, we're looking forward to more of your books coming out.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Okay, folks, have a great week. Next week, we've got Madea Benjamin coming on of Code Pink. Be here to talk about her book, Drone Warfare. It's funny. We were just talking about that earlier, Mr. Bells. You might want to, or Richard. You might want to tune
yeah,
in.
Yeah, when is that going to be on?
Next Tuesday, same time. She's going to be joining
I'll
us.
I'll find that. That should be interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good book. Okay, thanks again, and take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Okay, good night.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office of summer people. And they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.